Okay, here we go. I'm sharing my screen. Can you all see it?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. The Torah and Mitzvot protect us from physical danger is the title tonight. I picked this topic in light of obviously what's going on now and as well as what's going on in B'nai Brak. I don't know the latest. We talked about it last week and I was able to look up in on some news sources that Rav Chaim Kanievsky and a few others ordered that learning in yeshiva should continue despite the coronavirus epidemic. I know that since then he's said that it should be only the children and they should not be in classes of 10 and his own house is closed. You can't get into his house. I don't know whether they're still going even to this very moment, whether the Bachorim are still learning. But I thought it would be interesting to talk about it. We're only going to have 40 minutes tonight, so we're not going to have time to cover everything that I've put on the sheet. And I don't intend to do this again next week because the topic kind of makes me uncomfortable. So we'll see what we get through.
We can find a more general topic for next week. We don't have to keep beating a dead horse here.
No, not at all. But it is a very, very interesting topic, and I did enjoy researching it. But the truth is that the conclusions that you can draw for it are somewhat limited, even though obviously they're very, very important. So there's about six different Gemaras. I'm actually going to show this. There's about six different Gemaras that we could discuss. There's a Gemara in Sota, Psachim, Makos, Shabbos, and Tana should also be big. I don't know why it's not. So it's about five different Gemaras. We'll start with the one in Sota, which I think is the most germane to our topic and is the most expansive in terms of what it's talking about because it really, really gets to the heart of the matter. So the Gemara in Sota is on Kaf Aleph Amar Aleph and it's talking about Sota. But specifically, it's talking about a Mishnah that says that sometimes it could be that a woman actually is guilty of being a sota, and yet the waters that she drinks don't kill her, at least not for a certain amount of time, 3 years. It says it could be up to 3 years that her schut, that her merit, can actually protect her from the waters of the sota. Now, how does that work? So that's what the Gemara says. It says, zchut tola gimel shanim. That's the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, zchut demai. What zchut could possibly protect her? So the Gemara says, ilema zchut de Torah. Maybe it's her Torah learning. Maybe it's her Torah learning that's protecting her. So, ha'ena matuva va'osahi. Yeah, but a woman is not chayevet in Talmud Torah. So you would expect that in order for the zchut of Torah to protect somebody, then it should be the kind of Torah that she's chayevet in. But she's not. So the Gemara says, ela zchut de mitzvah. So it must be the zchut of a mitzvah. What mitzvah? Any mitzvah. I actually looked low and high for the Rishonim to say which Mishnah mitzvah it's talking about. No specific mitzvah, just any mitzvah. So the Gemara says, but wait a second. Zchut mitzvah mi magna kulei hai. Does a mitzvah protect people so much that it'll protect her from the waters? Vahatanya, the Braita says, et zu darash Rabbi Nachum bar Yosi, ki ner mitzvah Torah or, pasuk that we all know. Tala katuv et mitzvah baner, et Torah ba'or. Mitzvah is connected to ner. Torah is connected to or. Et mitzvah baner, lomar lecha maner eina magina el lefi sha'a, af mitzvah eina magina el lefi sha'a. Just like the ner only works lefi sha'a, it only works temporarily for a few moments, so too the mitzvah only protects for a few moments, for temporarily. However, the or has some element of eternality to it. And so just like it protects forever, so too Torah protects forever, even when you're not involved in it. The Braita continues, basically the point being that mitzvah protects only temporarily, and Torah protects eternally, or alternatively, mitzvah protects in this world, and Torah protects in the next world. And he gives a mashal, a nice mashal, we'll just run through it. Mashal Adam Shayam Halech Beishon Laila Va'afela. A man was walking in the dark in the forest. He was afraid of everything you could be afraid of in the dark, in a forest. He was afraid of splinters. He was afraid of natural dangers. He was afraid of animals. He was afraid of bandits. And he also didn't even know where he was going because it was dark. Okay, he got a torch and that protected him from certain dangers in the dark. But he still doesn't know. But he's still afraid of animals. He doesn't know where he's going. When morning came, he was no longer afraid of animals, and he was no longer afraid of bandits because they wouldn't attack him during the day. But he still doesn't know where he's going. But when he got to the crossroads, when he finally got to the actual road, then he knew where he was going. He was good. Now, the Gemara later on unpacks this mashal, but we don't have time for that right now. Each stage is mitzvah, Torah, then learning halacha. That's what the Gemara is going to say later. However, the Gemara says, Diva acher, avera mechabe mitzvah, vein avera mechabe Torah. Gemara suggests that it could be that avera, doing an avera, can nullify the protective element of mitzvah, but it can't nullify the protective element of Torah. Shneimar, ma'im rabim lo yichlu lechabot et ha'ahava. Ahava, this pasuk in Shir Hashirim, is talking about how great waters cannot extinguish love. Love here is Torah, but it's not mitzvah. Mitzvah is a lower level. Fine. Now the Gemara gets back to the point. Amar of Yosef, mitzvah be'idna da'asik ba'magnu matzla, be'idna de'lo asik ba'maguni magna atzili l'matzla. Rav Yosef says, ultimately, mitzvah, when you're involved in it, it can protect you and it can save you. But when you're not involved in it, the history of that mitzvah can protect you, but it cannot save you. In other words, if you're already in danger, if you already have something wrong, it won't save you. If you're sick, for example, it cannot save you. But it can prevent you from getting sick. Torah, bein beidna da'asik ba, bein beidna de lo asik ba, magno matzah, but Torah, whether or not you are involved in it right now, it can protect you and it can save you. That's what Rav Yosef says. Mat kifla rabba. Rabbah responded to Rav Yosef. Elamiyata dog v'achitofa miloaski b'torah. Says, but dog and achitofa, they learned Torah. Amaylo igina alayo, but they weren't protected. They were both killed. Elamar Rava Torah be'in the dasik.
Could I ask you to explain what that is? That references
dog and achitofa.
Yes.
They were the two people that betrayed David HaMelech. Achitofa switched sides to Avshalom. Doeg HaAdomi also tried to kill David.
Okay.
So, but they were, according to the Gemara and Brachos, they were both Torah scholars. In fact, sometimes Achitofel would beat David HaMelech in arguments. But how come they weren't protected? Alam Rabba, Torah beidna dasik ba magna umatzla, beidna delasik ba aguni magna, atzuli ma'atzla. So Rava inverts it and he says, well, he doesn't completely invert it. He just says, Torah, even only when you're involved in it, it protects you. But when you're not involved with it, it cannot save you from anything. And mitzvah is a lower level. Mitzvah can only protect you, but it cannot save you, cannot rescue you. So it can protect you from a bad situation, but it can't bring you out of it once you're in it already. Now getting back to this woman and how she was saved. So Ravina Amar, the Olam Schut the Torah. He goes back, he says, okay, ultimately it seems that mitzvah cannot protect her. It must be indeed the schut of Torah itself. But we said the Ka'amarta ain't a mitzvah va'osa, but she's not mitzvah va'osa, so how could it protect her? So you'll love this part. Nehi de b'kudei lo mefakta, ba'agra de makarnu metanayan bahadayu v'natru lehu legavrayu, adatu bin bevi drasha, milo palgan bahadayu. So the English over here, I put the English here so we can't mistake what he says, granted that women are not so commanded, they don't have a chiyuv in Talmud Torah, still, when they have their sons taught scripture and Mishnah and wait for their husbands until they return from the schools, should they not share the merit with them? This is based on the Gemara in Brachot also that says that women have the great merit of sending their sons and their husbands to learn Torah, and they share in the schut of that Torah. This, of course, is always quoted every Siyam Hashas. Whoever is doing the Siyam Hashas always mentions the wives and the mothers. This along with the Gemara about Rabbi Akiva and his wife. Okay, so that's the Gemara. That's what the Gemara has to say in the Gemara in Sota. Any points that anybody wants to make? Nothing? Barbara, where are you?
It sounds clear to me.
Okay, fair enough. So what are we going to do with this Gemara? So first, we'll learn a couple of Tosfosim. They're important Tosfosim, and they'll kind of frame a little bit the discussion, and other Rishonim talk about them as well. So the first Tosfos that we'll see says, he says, V'tema. My high diktani bebraita tala the mitzvah b'ner. This whole business with the ner and the or the whole thing, is I don't understand. E mina puranut mitzvah nami magna laolam v'imi yitzahara dematzla halomatzah elafisha. So Tosfos points out that there's a distinction to be made over here. What do we mean? What do we mean when we say that Torah or mitzvah protects or rescues? Protects or rescues from what? Now, I would say the most obvious answer is from danger or from pain or from death. That's what we're talking about over here. But he says, but that doesn't make any sense because imi paranut magina la'olam, the Torah nami lamatla katub or bishum magina la'olam, says if it's from paranut, nothing protects you from paranut. Sorry, the opposite. Mitzvah protects you from paranut, but from the yetzer hara, it doesn't protect you, ela lefisha. He says, really, there's no distinction to be made over here between Torah and mitzvah, because they both act the same, whether it's peranut or whether it's yetzer hara. So Tosfos is kind of muddying the words over here, because he's bringing the idea that, are we talking about being protected from danger, or are we talking about being protected from the yetzer hara? Okay, so Tosfos muddies the water there a little bit.
Did I miss something? What's the difference between the Torah and the mitzvah?
What's the difference between Torah and mitzvah? When we say Torah, we mean Talmud Torah, the learning of Torah. Versus mitzvah, which is the performance of regular mitzvot. So that's the first Tosa that I wanted to look at. The second says, wait a second. We didn't read this part of the Gemara about the Talmud Chacham who is learning Halacha L'maisa. So he says, wait, the Talmud Chacham is not protected when he's not actually learning Torah, right? So then he says an important line. He says, Stam Talmud Chacham Torato umnato vosekba umaharher kol sha'a ve'eno lech dalet amot below Torah. The Gemara afterwards says that a real Talmud Chacham will be protected even when he's not learning. So he says, but I don't understand. If he's not learning, how can we protect it? So he says, a real Talmud Chacham is Torato Umnato. This is a phrase that has become politicized, right? Toraso Umnaso. This is people who are just only learning. That's their job. So there's a person like that who's always, always learning. So there's no such thing as him not learning. So there's no Be'idna Delo Asik Patorah. There's no time that he's not actually being Osik in Torah. So such a person will always be protected, Tosfos assumes. Okay, all right, we'll skip that part. Is there any seriously?
Can I make another reference here? It's not only learning Torah. Many of us have the custom of when someone is going off on an overseas trip, we give them mitzvah money.
Right.
Because hey, give this to tzedakah, and now you're a shaliach mitzvah, and this means you're protected from anything bad.
Right.
Shaliach mitzvah. How does that relate to what we're learning?
Good, so that's going to be in the Gemara and Pesachim.
Okay.
Gemara Pesachim that we're going to see. Not this one, but okay. The Gemara Pesachim, we're going to see it. So the Marsha over here, you know, we can skip the Marsha. There's too much here. I put too much stuff over here. But maybe we can do this. The Merome Sada. Anybody know who the Merome Sada was?
No.
It's a commentary on the Gemara by the Netziv, the Hamak Dover. Yeah. The commentary on the Gemara is called the Merome Sada. So he says about Rav Yosef's line that Be'idna da'asik v'magnu matzla, that when he is learning it, then it protects. The feed down to Rav Yosef, Pirish ha'mashal shal ner v'or, dener magin b'sha'ash k'tana k'de ha'ner, v'yisod ha'or havi la'olam, v'akol b'yitzahar mishtai. So he says Rav Yosef is only talking about the Yitzahara the whole time. The whole time we're only talking about being saved from the Yitzahara. So this whole Gemara, according to Rav Yosef, the whole Brita and everything is not talking about saving you from actual physical danger. It's talking about saving you from your Yitzhara. Okay? U'mashala sheni la'adam shaya mahalach b'ishon lay l'vafela eno me'en harishon. And the second mashala about the person walking at night, that is different. Alahachi kamar demitzah doma la'avuka matzalat mi'yisurim ha'doma la'kotzim ve'eno matzil mi'yitzhara mi'adam ra v'torah doma la'or ha'shachar. That's talking about Only the second mashal is actually talking about that. So he distinguishes between. So it's, again, pointing out what Tosfos says, it's not clear whether we're talking about being protected from the Yetzer Hara, or whether we're talking about being protected from danger.
But what is danger? Maybe define what danger is. It seems to be crossing over the lines here between Isurim and the Yetzer Hara and bad things. What are we being protected from?
That's the question. If we're talking about, what interests us right now is, let's say, the coronavirus. If I'm learning Torah, am I protected from the coronavirus? That's what interests us. Right?
Maybe yes, maybe no.
Well, that's the question over here. Is Torah meant to do anything like that? Is that one of the functions that it plays? Or is that not what this Gemara is talking about at all?
How do we know this is not just an Agadic Gemara?
Let's say it's an Agadic Gemara. What difference does it make? First of all, it's a Mishnah that says that the woman is protected for 3 years, up to 3 years. So it's Lamaisa. Although you do make a good point, and I'm surprised nobody's making it. What's the context of our Gemara? This Gemara over here, what's the context? Is it talking about coronavirus? Is it talking about war? Is it talking about, going skiing?
Talking about danger you put yourself in relation to the...
And what kind of danger? Why is this woman in danger?
The site?
She did something wrong.
Barbara, I see you're talking, but you're on mute, so I'm going to unmute you.
Because the Sota water is dangerous for her if she is guilty.
That's right. So first of all, it's a spiritual, it's a spiritual physical danger that is a punishment coming from Shamayim. So we're talking about being protected by Torah from a punishment coming from Shamayim. So it's a little bit different than a natural danger or something that you kind of walked into physically, right? It's a little bit different. It's almost like, the Torah is going to protect you from being punished. So it's a little bit easier to understand then. Right? Let's see. What else? Oh, so the Aruch Chaim. Okay, it's a very long Aruch Chaim. I'm going to try to find the main point that he... Okay, you know what? Okay, this is an Aruch Chaim in Parshas Bechukotai. Look at it inside. So the Rechaim says, the Mishnah Avo says that you should exile yourself to a place of Torah. People would go very, very far in order to get to a place to learn Torah. Let's get to the point. Here we are, I think. Okay, here we go. These quotes are Gemara. No, that's not a Gemara. One second. Here it is. Okay. Maftiach HaKatuv. Maftiach HaKatuv. Shagam tetavo avera liado yenetzol mimena. The Pasuk promises that even if you do an avera, you'll be saved from it. From what? From the avera. Kam ramzal Torah magina umatzla miyetzahara. You see what the Aruch Chaim added over here? He added those two words, no? There's a whole story about they went past the opening of a harlot house and they were protected because of the Torah. Okay, the point is, over here, the Aruch Chaim says the whole Gemara is only talking about actually being saved from Yetzer Hara. It says, and let's say you think that it really does mean you're going to be saved from real life danger. He says even when you're being when you're talking about saving you from the Yetzer Hara, it's only when you're learning Lishma. What does Lishma mean?
Lishem
Hashem, Lishem HaTorah. There's plenty of Torah that's been written about that. But one example of people who did learn Lishma was דואג ואחי תופל, מלא עסקו בתורה, מי לא גינה עליו? אין קושי השם, היו לומדה מתחילתם שלא לשמה, ואין כוח בתורה כזו להגין עליו מייצר הרע. So דואג ואחי תופל, we can answer and say, they weren't learning לשמה.
They were.
Say again?
They were or they weren't?
They were not.
Didn't we learn, like last 2 weeks ago, that there's no actual thing as pure learning Torah Lishma? There's always going to be some kind of negius. Remember that when we were davening in the morning in a shul normally?
Oh, you mean when we used to go to Minyan?
Yeah.
We weren't talking about learning Torah specifically there. We were talking about doing mitzvahs in general. You're right. What Lishma means in terms of Torah is a very large question that actually Rabbi Lam has written in an entire book that you can find if you have the courage to go to the Shiftei library these days. You can actually see it in the Miklat. It's called Torah Lishma, based on the Nefesh HaChayim. Let's assume for now that Torah Lishma means that you're learning just for the sake of being Mekayim the Mitzvah, as opposed to, for example, learning for the sake of getting Kavod or of being smarter than everybody else. Or, I don't know, any other...
So it wouldn't be sufficient just to learn Torah to be protected. You have to learn Torah completely, Lishma, to be...
You have to learn it for the sake of learning Torah, like what we're doing right now. Nobody here is acting with ulterior motives. We're just learning Torah because we want to understand what it says, what Hashem wants from us. Now... You know what? There's a lot over here that maybe I'll send out the sheet. Anybody who wants to look at it can look at it on their own, but we don't have time to do all of it. Somebody interesting to look at over here is Rav Yashif. No? He probably has some interesting things to say about this Gemara, right? Living in the 21st century as he did, definitely part of the Haredi Welt. So what does he have to say about this? So he comments on the last part of it. First, he's interested in the halachic aspects of it, which interests us less tonight, but I'll read it anyways. He talks about what is this idea about the women being ena mitzvah v'osa. So he says, "Vaday zchut haTorah be'etzem mashehem atzman oskin dezeh lo hava zchut devaday ena mitzvah v'osa lo hava zchut maspik." Learning Torah when you're not chayevet, when she's not chayevet, it's not enough of a zchut. Rak zchut haTorah be'zeh shemesayot le'elu shemitzuvim v'osim talmud Torah mikri diyesh lahem chelav gator. This is pretty amazing, no? Saying that a woman. This is what he says. This is what the Gemara says, that a woman could get more zchut encouraging those who are chayav to learn Torah than she can from learning Torah herself. Interesting.
Rav Avadi Yosef spoke about this, that when a wife sends her husband to the kolal on Friday to learn instead of helping her at home, so she gets the zchus from the time that she sends him to the time that he gets home.
Good. And you know what's probably even better than that? If she sends and she learns. She can send and she can learn. You can do both. Also, I'm just editorializing over here, but there are many reasons why it's important for women to learn Torah, aside from the fact that she has to know what she has to do, which the Rama says that every woman is obligated to learn all the halachot that she has to know how to do. And second of all, if she wants to be able to teach her family, to be inspired by Torah. There are many reasons to learn Torah besides for being mekayim in the midst of Talmud Torah. There are other reasons to learn Torah. Besides that, men have an extra obligation.
The Idah Haredit has closed all their girls' schools but kept their boys' schools open.
Okay. I understand where they're coming from. If all the girls were just learning Torah, then I understand where they're coming from. But I thought that they were learning other things too. But, the Misrad HaChinuch closed all the schools, so.
Well, Misrad HaChinuch can do what they want and the Idah Haredit can do what they want.
Right. Well, that's what we're trying to explain. So the Rambam says... this is actually pretty amazing, Rambam. Rambam quotes this Gemara, by the way, in terms of who was the one who said maybe it's an Agadic Gemara?
Forget who said it. I think it was Avi.
Who was who?
Wasn't it Avi?
Which Avi? Oh, yes. Avi Wiesenberg, yes. Isn't Avi, it? You said, so the Rambam passes this Gemara. So teshayel eschut Talmud Torah, afa bishayin emetzuva al Talmud Torah, harei zu tolela. Now, what's interesting about this Rambam, the way that he phrases it, anybody notice it? If you're reading carefully.
Okay.
Is he talking about because the woman encourages her husband to go learn Torah?
She had previously.
What?
Says she had previously.
Yeah, because she learned, because she had the schut of Talmud Torah. So what are we talking? There's two schut of Talmud Torah for the woman. There's where she learns, and then there's where she encourages her husband and her sons to learn. So which one are we talking about here?
We're talking about her learning.
It seems. That's what the Rav Eliezer says. His name is Stimata Lashon Mavorit Ksat Estam Azchut Talmud Torah Magin La. V'lav Davka Hadu Ravina De Masayeya Lebalabana. It doesn't sound like the Rambam accepts the end of the Gemara. It sounds like he thinks that it's talking about her learning. Amnam Ein Zuraya De Bedochok Efshal Litchok Lishono. He says, oh, maybe we can fetch the Rambam that he's really talking about encouraging, even though it doesn't seem like it's standard pshat. And maybe she has a schut in Talmud Torah, in which case it's easier to see how he's talking about her just encouraging. Okay. Now, but he does point out that the Meiri himself, and the Meiri most often followed in the footsteps of the Rambam, the Meiri himself says, schut Torah magin ala, hen shi eskahi batorah, hen shi shtadla b'limud baneha u'ba'ala. So the Meiri says it's both. Either one, either because she was learning or because she was encouraging. And that's clear. Leon Naka Lashon Rishon did Nakat Ben Shes Kahiba Torah Shazamaginala Lakhar Hamavura Bagmara Dainam Suvos. He says, but that's not Mavosa. So he has to deal with this Meiri. Interesting. I put the Rambam here, by the way, if anybody wants to see. This is the Sota. Okay, one second. Soon we'll be finished with this Gemara.
All the examples seem to be surrounding Sota, which is a bit different from, as you said, from what we're dealing with. She possibly did something that she shouldn't have done.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people are being hit by dangers. They haven't done anything wrong.
That's fair. Also, they're not like divinely ordained dangers like the Sotas is.
How did they jump from Sota to Yetzirah?
That's a good question. We do see all the Rishonim, a lot of the Mefarshim just add the words Yetzirah in there and say that's what you're being protected from. It does seem strange because...
No, I mean, it makes sense. There's no connection to her story.
But it seems too late for her to be protected from the Yetzirah, no? I mean, she's already done it.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So it seems strange that the Gemara could be talking about being saved from the Yetzirah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Now here is the other thing. So, what is it about the Torah that's protecting? So, from the Sefer Daf Al Daf, which is just a Sefer that like came out recently on Daf Yomi, it says, it's not the mitzvah aspect of Talmud Torah, ela the etzem haTorah maginu matzil. It's the Torah itself. And then he says the story about Rav Rechumi. You guys know the story of Rav Rechumi? I'm trying to remember it now, actually. It was quoted in the Knesset. Remember a few years ago when Yesh Atid made it into the Knesset and everybody got up and gave a speech, and then the woman who's in Yesh Atid, I forget her name. What was her name?
No,
she gave a shir. She gave a shir instead of a Knesset speech. Something with
from
a kuf.
Nevei Daniel, the lady from Nevei Daniel. She's not. Yes.
No.
What's her name? Ruth Calderon.
Yes, Calderon. That's it. Ruth Calderon. That's Calderon. Yeah. And she gave a shir, and she quoted this Gemara about Rav Rechumi, who got in trouble because he was away from his wife, and she was upset. And he was learning Torah. The lo hitzel a Torah shalamad mishum shahayta tvi'a limudom. Yeah, because he wouldn't come home. So he says, sometimes when you're Talmud Torah, and this is obviously going to be relevant for us, if your Talmud Torah is being done in a way that it could be violating an Avera, then it doesn't protect. Okay? Well, in this case, he was causing tzara to his wife.
It's so above it.
Right, in a way. So the Torah that you're learning must be done in a kosher way, so to speak. Okay. Okay. I wanted to show you this video because I want to make sure I show you this video. I could have showed it to you later, but I want to make sure you see it. So this is a video of Rav Asher Weiss. First, we'll. Can you guys hear the audio, by the way, or no?
Not yet.
Is you can't hear any audio?
No.
You can't hear it?
No.
Oh, no. Well. Okay.
I hear
well,
you. I don't hear any other audio.
I'll narrate it. You can't hear
I
it?
I see Rav Asher Weiss, but I don't hear him.
So what's happening right now is that he's in Sderot. This is from, what year is this?
Why didn't you send us the link, Danny?
I can. It's on the sheet. It's on the sheet. I'll send you the whole sheet. This is from February. Hold on. When is this? Oh, this has just happened. Oh, it's just happened. Kaftet Shvat this year.
Just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago. So he gives Shir and Sderot, I think every week. And there were rockets. And there are sirens, and he stops the shir for a moment. You can see his face if you want. And right now he's saying, Hamakom hazeh mugan? That's the question that he's asking. He says, is this place protected? They say, yes. And then he says, Oskim batorah, zeh hamakom hachi mugan she'afshar liyot. Okay, and then there's booms, a bunch of booms. Hold on.
Oh, we gotta hear this one.
You could see his face. You could see his face. That's because there's booms outside. And then there's shouting in the background. And now he says, hold on. Efshar l'amshich. Efshar l'amshich. So he continues. Now, what do you make of that scene? You can watch it on your own if you want. What do you make of that scene?
First of all, I've got a question. While he was stopping and listening to the booms, he wasn't learning Torah.
Okay. That's true.
Isn't that what happened with David HaMelech? He was learning Torah.
Yeah,
and
then
we'll see something very similar.
He stopped learning Torah.
If we have time, we'll
David
see something
felt
very similar.
David felt I was mugan while I'm learning Torah, and he stopped learning Torah to see what was going on outside by the tree.
Yeah, we'll see something very similar.
Seems that there's some caveats here about learning Torah as well, because we know recently about 8 kids that were killed in Merkaz Arav, in the base of Medrash, learning Torah. What they weren't learning the Shema, and therefore they weren't protected.
Right, so this is the question. But also, I mean, isn't it interesting that he asked first, Hamakom Hazeh Mugan? What if the answer was no?
Did he ask, or was that a question or a statement?
Yes, he asked the question, Hamakom Hazeh Mugan? And then when he was told yes, so then he added, okay, we're learning Torah. This is the most Mugan that we can be.
So, Mugan meaning, was it a Miklat? Is that what he meant?
Yes. The whole Beit Midrash is a Miklat.
All right. I thought that was a statement.
Zero. Fortified.
It's zero. So
you have the Hishtadlut. Have they done the Hishtadlut?
Yeah. I mean, L'chora, if the answer was no, they would have left. They would have stopped this year and they would have gone somewhere else. Well, I don't, they wouldn't have had time, but that's a different story. Okay, let's look at the second Gemara, because I think looking at the Gemara is important. So this is a Gemara I told you about, the Gemara in Psachim, in Yani Dioma. The Gemara is asking, how far do you have to go to check for chametz? So it's talking about checking for chametz in holes in walls. So it says, we don't require you to insert your hand into a hole in a wall, because there's danger, there's sakana. So what danger? What are we talking about? So first the Gemara says maybe there's a snake in there. So the Gemara says, well, why would you put your chametz in a place where there's a snake? That doesn't make any sense. So it says, no, maybe it's talking about where the wall collapsed. So the Gemara says, but if the wall collapsed, then why do I have to search at all? I don't have to search in ruins. So the Gemara says, well, that's only when a dog cannot search it. But here, where a dog can search now, where a dog could get there, so then you can get there also. You have to check. So then the Gemara says, but wait a second. Rav Elazar said, and the answer is over here, the halacha is that you don't have to look there because it's dangerous. So you don't have to look in places where it's dangerous. So Gemara says, but Rav Elazar said, those sent to perform a religious duty do not suffer harm. This is what my father said before. Shluchei mitzvah, einan nizokin. They don't get hurt. So Rav Ashi says, he may have lost a needle and come to look for it. No, because maybe while he's looking for the chametz, he's going to look for a needle as well. That he left something there, and he's going to look for it as well. So he's got concurrent purposes. So Gemara says, what's that? What does that matter? We learned that if one declares that this sela will be for tzedakah, so that my son will live. So at the same time that he's doing the mitzvah of tzedakah, he's also looking out for his son. So that person is a tzaddik gamor. That's fine. You're allowed to have ulterior motives when you're doing a mitzvah. So Gemara says, maybe he searched for the leaven, he will come to look for it afterwards. In other words, maybe after he finishes searching for the chametz, then he's going to look for the needle, and that's when it's going to get him. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen. So maybe the snake will bite him or something like that, or whatever it is. So this Gemara seems to say that mitzvah, like we saw before, protects you, but only insofar as you are actually involved in it. A second after you finish the mitzvah, you can't expect any protection.
So this Gemara differs from what we learned previously, which specified the Torah. This says any mitzvah.
Yeah, well, the other Gemara also said that mitzvah can protect you, but that it can't save you. Or it protects you only when you're involved in it, but not when you're not involved with it. So this seems to be in line with the other Gemara, that mitzvah protects you only be'idna da'asikba, when you are involved in it.
So when now, we have the possibility, it's tzedakah tatzil mimavis. It's only when you're constantly putting money in the kupa. The minute you stop, it doesn't tzil from mavis.
Tzedakah tatzil mimavis is a pasuk in Mishlei. I presume that it works even when you're not putting the
I've got a startup idea based on that. You should do it where it's continuously sending 1 cent a minute over the year, and then you're continuously giving tzedakah. Good idea.
Good startup.
If I was running a charity, I would start that now.
Set it up. That's good.
Until it stops.
Isn't there a whole thing? Can I just ask? I've got a memory of the thing about sending away the mother bird, and the boy was obeying his father. He was a kavod. That thing about
yes,
and there's a whole discussion about that. How could it
absolutely.
Be? You know.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a Gemara in Chulin, the end of Chulin. It's sometimes associated with the downfall of Elisha ben Avuya. When he saw that happening, he was very distraught. And over there, Rabbi, the name escapes me now, he says, listen, there's no reward for mitzvahs in this world. So how does that jive with what we're talking about right now? It's hard to understand, yeah.
Now, and I just want to finish. The same with Leila Seder is supposed to be Leil Shmura, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So the whole concept is problematical.
I agree. I guess al regal achat, what I would answer is, you're right, sometimes it doesn't work like this, but the halacha has an expectation that on balance, you can feel protected, even though sometimes it doesn't work. That's what I would, that's the only answer I can give. This Gemara, though, gives another distinction, aside from the idea that you're not involved in it at the moment. The Gemara says, maybe we're not talking about that. Maybe we're talking about this whole complicated thing where people will suspect you're involved in witchcraft if you're sticking your hand in a wall, because that was somehow associated with witchcraft. And they quote the Rav Elazar again, and this says where the injury is probable, it is different. So this also, you know, relates, Barbara, to what you were talking about, although not specifically, but has to do with it. Where you're in a dangerous situation, this is key though, where you're in a dangerous situation, you cannot rely on mitzvahs to protect you. So if you're going to say, okay, I'm going to do a mitzvah and I'm going to go climbing up Kilimanjaro but I'm going to bring tzedakah with me the whole time, you're doing the wrong thing. Meaning, assuming that you're really worried about dying.
I think that incident that Barbara was referring to about the ladder going up was that he obeyed his father who told him to go up. But I think the Gemara explains that he was using a defective ladder.
Yeah,
which means even though you're doing a mitzvah, you still put yourself in a dangerous situation by using a defective ladder.
Absolutely.
So you have to do the hishtadlut. You have to use, you know, like he says, is it mugam? I mean,
you have to think. You have to think.
You can't just blindly walk across the road and
Rabbi, where does hashgacha pratis move over to nature? Where's
the hashgacha pratis?
So if you're saying that if we're doing a mitzvah, if we're giving tzedakah, we're going to be saved from danger. and we're doing it for the right reason. But on the other hand, we're saying that you have to do ishtadlus, and you have nature here in the background. So if you can't swim and you jump in the sea, and you're giving constantly giving tzedakah, you're still going to drown.
Yeah, you will.
So where does is it nature? Is it hashgacha pratis, or is it what we're doing mitzvahs? We're not doing mitzvahs. What?
I don't have a great answer.
Okay.
Over here, though,
it could be just nature.
It is absolutely nature. I shouldn't say absolutely, but it seems to be nature. I wanted to point out over here,
it's dangerous.
The Chassam Sofer, so he points out by Yosef Atzadik. Everybody asked this question: why wasn't Yosef Atzadik protected? He was sent on a on a mitzvah from his father, and then his sons were able to attack him. His brothers were able to attack him. So how did that happen? So the Chassam Sofer gives one striking answer, and that is that before the giving of the Torah, there was no mitzvot. So even though he was doing a mitzvah by our standards, there was no Torah to protect him. The binding nature of the Torah is what protects him. He was Eina Mitzuva Va'osa, and so he had no protection. That's one answer that he gives. And then there's another answer, which is the Or HaChaim, which relates to what Simon's talking about, but only in an inverted way. And in fact, the Or HaChaim famously says that Yosef was not protected from his brothers because humans have free will.
Yeah.
This is the opposite of what we're looking for over here, because coronavirus is not human free will.
What does free will have to do with it?
You cannot, according to the Or HaChaim, not everybody agrees with this, according to the Or HaChaim, you cannot ever be expected to be protected from another human being just because of your Torah or mitzvot. Human beings have free will, they can do to you whatever they want. Hashem can choose to stop them or something like that, but they will try and they can succeed in doing whatever they want, whenever they want. That's the deal Hashem made with the world. That doesn't relate, obviously, to coronavirus. It doesn't help us. A couple more Gemaras. Maybe I'll just run through them. So this Gemara in Makos. Right. Okay, so this is kind of only tangentially related. This talks about the fact that, according to Halakha, when a whole neighborhood has to pay for security, right? They have to pay for the police and for the army, or they have to pay taxes. So Torah scholars can sometimes be exempt. I'm reading the wrong Gemara. This is Gemara Makos. Forget everything I just said. That's a different Gemara. This Gemara is much more interesting. This Gemara says that we know that a person kills by accident. The Rotzeach B'Shogeg goes to your Miklat. What happens if a rabbi, a Talmud Chacham, kills by accident? So such a rabbi, he goes to Ir Miklat and he brings his entire Beit Midrash with him. The whole yeshiva transplants to the Ir Miklat. That's what happens. So Gemara says, I don't understand. Rav Yochanan says, how could, why would a Talmud Chacham have to go to Ir Miklat? What's the reason for going to Ir Miklat?
So that the relatives
killed by accident.
But why do you have to go to Ir Miklat? Why don't you just stay home?
Being killed.
So to be protected. The relatives won't go after him.
That's protected. Right, to be protected from the Goel Hadam. But wait a second.
All they do in the Ir Miklat is learn Torah, so that makes sense.
But why does he have to? But he could stay at home and learn Torah. He could stay in Rav Beit Shemesh. Why does he have to go to Betzer or to Ramot or to Golan?
So he wasn't careful enough.
Okay, but he could stay himself. Home. Be protected. So yeah, but the Gemara says, I don't understand. The Torah protects. It's not so clear from the English translation, but the end of the pasuk says v'zot atara asher sam Moshe lifnei bnei Israel. After listing all of the Ari Miklat, so the rabbis say, based on this, it sounds like the Torah protects at least as much as the Ari Miklat. So why does he have to go to the Ari Miklat at all? So they give two answers. One, because it only protects people who are, this is what Simon was saying, people who maintain it in practice. And the fact that this guy killed, even if it was by accident, means he wasn't maintaining it in practice. Or, alternatively, the asylum means refuge from the angel of death, but not from another person. In other words, you can be protected from nature, but not from the Goel Hadam. And this relates to what my father pointed out about David HaMelech, that the same story is told about Rav Chisda. He was sitting and rehearsing his studies in the schoolhouse, and the angel of death could not approach him, as his mouth would not cease rehearsing. He thereupon perched upon a cedar of the schoolhouse, that's the Malach HaMavet, and the cedar cracked under him, Rav Chisda paused, and the angel overpowered. In other words, as long as we're learning Torah, he was protected. There were two more sources that I thought were really important, and then we're going to stop for the night. One here is Rav Zevin. This is a doozy of an article that he wrote in Hebrew, and it was translated in tradition. And this is an article about Torah scholars going to the army. I think many people do not know about this. It's pretty amazing. Look at what he writes. This is just part of it. He says, rabbis do not need guarding. God Almighty. When actual lives are at stake, may we rely on miracles. In 1929 at Hebron, didn't young students of the yeshiva whose holiness shone like stars in the sky fall before the malicious enemy? Basically, he's going on and saying that how can we give a p'tur from the army? This is Rav Yosef Zevin, the author of Mo'adim B'Halacha and many other Sfarim. Somebody who was not a lightweight. He was the editor of Encyclopedia Talmudit. An incredible rabbi, and that's what he had to say, meaning he said we can't rely on it to protect us. I just have to point this out before we end, because I think we're going to have to end in a minute anyways. We're going to get kicked off. Part of the argument over here is saying, okay, we're going to be protected. But in our specific case with the coronavirus, that's not good enough. Why is it not good enough? Let's say not a single bachar in the Bnei Brak Beit Midrash dies of coronavirus. Let's say. Is that good enough?
No, because they can infect other people.
Exactly. Let's say they're protected from coronavirus themselves.
What about everybody else?
What about everybody else who gets it from them?
It's not possible that all the kids sitting in that yeshiva, none of them has some kind of condition that makes them a high risk.
Let's say we give them the courage of their convictions and they really believe that they're going to be protected. And let's say they are protected. Let's say it works. But what about all the people they come in contact with?
It doesn't matter if you're high risk or not anymore, by the way. It's people that are not high risk that are dying from this anyway.
It's true. But that's my point. My point is the boys are saying the Torah will protect us and we don't have to worry about it. Hashem will protect us. The Torah will protect us. Okay, yeah, maybe the Torah will protect you. Let's say. Torah will protect you, but what about every single other person that you come in contact with? What about your grandparents? What about the taxi driver? The nature of this thing is that even if you don't think you have it, you have it. And so I just don't think that any of these Gemaras apply to any of that. That was aside from this, by the way. I think the arrogance of going around saying we're going to be protected flies in the face of this Gemara in Ta'anit. The Gemara in Ta'anit says that in Narda, there was a wall that was a weak wall. And Rav and Shmuel themselves, they wouldn't go past it because they were afraid. But one day, Rav Ada Bar Ava, who was a great, great Amora, came to town. And they said, oh, let's take a walk with Rav Ada Bar Ava and we'll go by the wall because we know the wall won't fall on him. It will fall on us, but it won't fall on him. That's what they said. Then there was another story, very similar, where Rav Huna had wine stored in a house and he wanted to get rid of it. But he was afraid that the whole thing would collapse if he went down there. So what did he do? He invited Rav Ada Bar Ava over to bring him to his wine cellar so he could show him his collection, knowing that nothing would happen while he was there. The moment that they left the house, what happened? The whole thing collapsed. Rav Ada Bar Ava turned around. He saw the whole thing collapsed, realized what had just happened, and he was offended because he said like the statement of Rav Yanai, a man should never stand in a place of danger and declare a miracle will befall me. You should never put yourself in danger and say, I'm so mechal hanes. Because maybe a miracle will not happen. And even if it does, guess what? That is a reduction of your merit. Where does he learn that from? Katonti mikol hachasadim umikol haemet. Yaakov himself. He says, even if you merit a miracle, guess what? That means that it gets removed from your bank. You lose that merit now going forward. By the way, I also think it's interesting that when Rav Ada Bar Ava is asked by what merit he was saved from all these miracles, right? He gave all this. By what merit was he saved with all these miracles? He was saved from all kinds of danger. So he answered, and he said, I never displayed any impatience. I never walked in front of any man greater than myself. I never meditated the words of Torah in a dirty alley. I never walked 4 cubits without musing over the Torah or of wearing tefillin. I never fell asleep in the Beit Midrash. I never rejoiced. Mm-hmm. There's a whole list, right? He could have just said, oh, because I learned Torah. But he gave a whole list. There's a lot of things that you need to be able to do, that you need to do in order to merit the protection. Who can claim that they merit this protection? And even if you did claim that you merited protection, you should learn from Avada Barava that you shouldn't tempt fate in this way. All right, we're going to have to end there. Next week we'll find something
else. I'd be curious to hear what the people in the Edah HaRedit have to say about this Gemara and how they refute what's written here.
I mean, they'll quote the other Gemaras.
Seems to be sufficient conflicting Gemara so that everybody can find justification for their opinion.
Well, that's how it always is. Yeah.
Seems that way. All right, good, everybody.
Shkoyach. I've done it.
Shkoyach.
Have a good night.
Night of
Tov. Night of Tov, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Stay healthy.